Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Wherein this ministry teaches the Word of God. For a few weeks now, after getting hit sideways, I found myself in kind of a defensive position and turned to the Word for its protection, that is, for God's protection. Today, I want to get on the offensive. You know, in the Epistle to the Ephesians, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And most of that equipment is defensive. But there is that offensive weapon that Paul speaks of, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I'm tired of being defensive, and I want to go on the offensive. And therefore, we are going back to a verse-by-verse teaching on the book of Galatians. Now, I need to set the stage and give a little context to that which caused this letter to be written to churches that were founded personally by the Apostle Paul. So Paul wrote his philosophic letter to the Romans, to whom he had no, at the time, personal contact, and a great letter is the Romans. He wrote, I think, the three greatest letters found in the New Testament. That's not to diminish any other of Paul's epistles, but the three greatest letters that I believe Paul wrote were both to the Romans, to Galatians, and to the Hebrews. And all three have this one phrase in common, that phrase taken out of the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, which reads, "The just by faith shall live." In Romans, Paul emphasizes the just, and we've taught on that. The word is literally the righteous. By faith shall live. In Hebrews, those folks of Hebrews descent who had seen their world destroyed around them, in the 10th chapter, Paul says, "But the just shall live by faith." The emphasis in Romans is righteousness. The emphasis in Hebrews is faith. And he says here in the 3rd chapter of Galatians that the just shall live. The emphasis is on live by faith. And life is a daily activity. And something has happened to this church or churches at Galatia, which Paul's vehement, if you will, angry. You say, an apostle get angry? You know, the word says, be angry and sin not. Paul is writing to the churches, and, you know, he's not writing to the world, folks. It says to the churches. The word in the Greek is ekklesia. We get that word church. I've said it before. It's worth saying again. We get our English word church from the Greek word kyriakon. They called Jesus Lord, Greek kurios. And when the world encountered those people who they recognized belonged to the Lord, they called them kyriakon. And we find that word traveling north and west throughout Europe, being translated in multiple languages, Kirsch, Kirschen, Kirschu, finally ending up in the British Isles. In Scotland, it was called, the word is Kirk. In England, the CH sound is softened, and we get our word church. And what it means is people who belong to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's been controversy brought up in these people whom the Apostle Paul has brought into that relationship wherein they belong to Jesus. But something has happened, and it infuriates Paul. So he writes this letter to the people who belong to the Lord in Galatia. Now, you know, tradition has this church in Turkey, on the Turkish peninsula, called the Gauls. There's another family of people called Gauls, and they are found in the south of France. I'm going to stay with tradition for purposes of these messages and stay with that community on the Turkish peninsula. Paul opens his letter and he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul, apostle, apostolos, sent one. He says, not of men, neither by man. He did not graduate from any of the seminaries or cemeteries which teach the traditions of men which make void the word of God, but he says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. And God the Father, who raised him, who, Jesus, from the dead, from the opening verse, the resurrection, becomes the centerpiece, the foundation of the faith of the Christian. And he says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the people who belong to the Lord of Galatia. And this with me has to do with who are in agreement with me. Paul did have unequivocally joined brethren that were with him, that were in agreement with him. Verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Unmerited favor. Nothing you did or I did to deserve this unmerited favor from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And peace. That means cessation of againstness. In the Greek, the word is eirene, and it goes even further than cessation of againstness. It has to do with being set together again with God. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Jesus gave. And this word in the Greek is in the middle voice, and it means he did this for himself. Who gave himself for our sins . I've said this oft times here at the God School. You cannot be a Christian if you don't know you are a sinner. I didn't say if you don't know you were a sinner, because as long as we are in this flesh, we fall short. Who gave himself for our sins? The word in the Greek is very simple. It means to fall short. A miss by an inch is as good as a miss by a mile. And as Paul says in that third chapter of Romans, for all have sinned and come short, hamartia, of the glory of God. Jesus Christ, who gave himself, he did it for his own sake, for our sins, that he might deliver for his own sake, middle voice, deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This name, Father, is becoming more and more important to me as my relationship deepens with God our Father, and I would that you might come to understand the relationship that we are having with God and our Father. It says, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our shortfallen condition, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is, don't give me this so be it business. This is, to whom be glory forever and ever, no doubt. Who gets the glory? God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Not me, not you, but God. I'm pausing because I wanted to say something, but it would have gotten personal to an individual, and, at least not today. I'm not going to go there. But Paul says in the sixth verse, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul is astounded at this, that you are so soon removed. That word means transferred from one place, a change from one place to another. Where's that place that called you into the grace of Christ? This grace, this unmerited favor, it is a state of being. It's a place of unmerited favor. It is that which begins our journey. He called us into the grace of Christ. And it is that state of being that is going to end our journey into not where our journey in this present evil world will end, into the eternities, it is that same state of being grace, where we shall spend eternity in our Lord Jesus Christ with God our Father. Paul says he's astounded. That they could so soon be removed so soon. Transferred from the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? The grace of Christ? What's the gospel of Christ? Righteousness not by the law, but by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And for today, and I'm planning, God willing, for the next several weeks to speak on that faith by which we shall live. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So, at this time, we're in the middle or almost the end of the 2024 Olympics in Paris, France. And headlines from the opening ceremonies had the church, so-called, all over the world, upset at the perversion that was put on display by these, whatever they were, I know not, but by these putting perversions of men on display, supposedly at the Last Supper. And the whole church world got upset. Well, let me tell you what I'm upset about, and what Paul was upset about, is that not the perverts in the world, but the perverts who would pervert the gospel, which is not another gospel, but the gospel, the grace of Christ. And what does Paul have to say about this? He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, he says, let him be accursed. King James really cleans up the Greek word here, using the word accursed. But Paul goes on to say, as we said before, so say I again, so say I now again, if any, now the word man in this ninth verse is in italics, that means it's added by the translator. What Paul is saying, if any, he said, if we or an angel from heaven, that is a messenger from heaven, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be anathema. You know what that means? Let me transliterate. As we said before, so say now, so say I now again. If any preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be God damned. I hope this comes across on shortwave. You think Paul was serious about how serious the gospel is, how relevant the good news of God the Father and of Jesus Christ is to us? He's not going to allow the reality of the gospel to be perverted by any who might preach any other gospel. Then the gospel of Christ, which he says in the first chapter of the book of Romans, he is not ashamed of, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto that state of being, if you will, wherein we, this word, salvation, the Greek is soterion. It is both a work in progress as well as a finished product. But the gospel, that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, and that God is not against us anymore, and that he gives us unmerited favor, nothing we did to deserve it. Paul says, anybody that messes with this gospel, let him be God damned. And I'm telling you, from the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, this gospel has been, for the most part, though preserved by God, been perverted by man. So in the last minutes that we have, I just want to take you to a Webster's dictionary for this word pervert. It means to turn away from the right course, to lead astray morally or to corrupt, to lead into mental error or false judgment, to bring over to a religious belief regarded as false or wrong, to turn from the proper to the improper use or purpose, to misapply, to distort, to misinterpret, especially willfully, to bring to a less excellent state, to debate, to affect with perversion, to change to what is unnatural or abnormal, a and we don't need to go there. One who has been perverted, one who has been brought over to a religious belief regarded as false or wrong. We're just getting started, folks. But for today, this is the God School. We'll speak to you soon. The Lord bless and keep you. Let him be gracious to you and make you aware of his presence. And set you together again with him. Good day.